Well, let me invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the Old Testament book of Genesis. The Old Testament book of Genesis, and tonight I want to finish the second part in the two-part on how to respond to character attacks. Someone has said something about you that you know is not true and it's not right and it's not factual, so what do you do? Someone has maliciously lied on you and they've done something to you and they just really have hurt your character, said something ungodly about you, and so what do you do? Do you get even? Do you retaliate? How do you respond in a way that is pleasing to the Father, in a way that honors and glorifies Him and also protects your life and your character? Well, we all know that it's easy to say, well, you know, you just shouldn't do that. But here's the truth about it. We live in a human body. You live in a human body until the day you die, and just as sure as you're alive, there's going to be someone, somewhere, sometime, that's going to potentially and maybe even maliciously attack your personal character. They may do it unconsciously or not knowing, or they may do it very maliciously, and they know what they're doing and what they're saying. Well, in the book of Genesis is probably one of the best examples of a person whose character was attacked outside of the life of Christ, and it's the person of Joseph. In the life of Joseph in the Old Testament, there are so many things that you and I can learn and glean out of his life because he faced so many situations in life, and really, you can take Joseph's life and in every situation of life, learn how to respond if you and I choose. And in Genesis chapter 39, I want you to look in verses 17 through 23, through the last part of this chapter, dealing with how to respond to character attacks. In verse 17 through 23, listen carefully to what Scripture says. This is talking about Potiphar's wife after Joseph had come in, and here's what she says. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, the Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which he spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. The keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Well, the very first part of this story is the story of Potiphar's wife accusing or trying to get Joseph to go to bed with her. You remember the story. She sees Joseph. He's handsome. He's good looking. And she tries to seduce him to go to bed and to have sexual relations. Well, because Joseph would not do that, because he wouldn't sin against God and against his own body, the Bible says that Potiphar's wife decided that she was just going to lie. Now, she made up some story that he came in to mock, and the word mock in the most literal translation literally means that he came in out of her, in her lying way, to rape her. And of course, she's lying, she's telling a lie, but nonetheless, she tells that to her husband, and off goes Joseph into prison. Joseph finds himself in prison. His character's been attacked. He's not done anything, and he can't really vindicate himself. He can't say anything in his defense because probably nobody's going to believe him. And yet there is something about his life that you just know that this is not what has actually happened. That may very well be the situation in your life. Your character's been attacked. Somebody has said something about you and you know that it's not the truth. Maybe a person you might even find sometime in your life, you lose your job because somebody attacks and people believe the lies rather than the truth. So how are you and I to respond whenever our character is attacked? Now remember, I shared with you last Sunday night that character attacks do happen to godly people. Doesn't matter if you're a child of God. The fact is that we can have our character attacked. People can lie on us. People can say malicious things. And, you know, they are initiated by Satan. And even in the character attacks that are allowed, God knows and God is governing everything that happens in and to our lives. So what I challenge you to do is get you a pen and a piece of paper out, and I want to give you some responses, how to respond to the character attacks that may come in your life. It may be your attack this week, but you may be somebody who may lie on you and say something. But I want you to get all of these down, and all of them start with an R. And so I want you to jot these down, because in the life of Joseph is the best example you and I can find. You know, so first thing that you look in the life of Joseph, one of the interesting things that took place is, number one, refused to retaliate. It's interesting that during the entire event, if you look at Scripture, nothing is said negatively about Joseph. As a matter of fact, he refused to fight back. He refused to fight back verbally. Why? Because no one can misunderstand your response whenever you respond wisely. You see, credibility is not just evident in our words, but it's evident in our lives. Joseph didn't fight back. He didn't try to defend himself. There was one thing that Joseph did do. He refused to retaliate. Listen, when someone attacks your character and they use your life as some good, juicy piece of gossip, and they say something about you, there is something about that man or that woman that refuses to retaliate. They say all sorts of malicious things, and you just stand there. You say, well, why don't you fight back? Listen, if God's not big enough to take care of your character when you're innocent, then you have no business saying or doing anything anyway. Because God knows the absolute truth of your life, of your circumstances. And one of the things that Joseph realized was this. Joseph knew that his life was in the hands of God. He knew that God knew the truth. Now, when God knows the truth, and since God does know the truth about everything, why in the world should you and I try to vindicate ourselves? The Bible says that God will vindicate those who are innocent. So if somebody, you know, uses your life as a good, juicy gossip, and you're someone's morsel and gossip, you just rest your life in the hands of God. Listen, you know, when Joseph responded godly, the Bible says, but God, the Lord, was with Joseph. In other words, no matter what anybody said, God knew the truth. And whatever happens in your life, God knows the truth. Whatever people say about your life, God knows the truth. If somebody attacks your character, God knows the truth. He knows exactly the truth about Joseph. And he knew Joseph wasn't a party to any sort of sexual attack. He knew Joseph was innocent. He knew Joseph didn't want to go to bed with her. God knows the absolute truth. And you need to understand that God knows the truth. So with that in mind, Joseph refused to retaliate. It's real easy to get caught up in the heat of the moment and someone says something to you and you want to retaliate. But a wise man, a wise woman will refuse to retaliate with this understanding. Your Father, you know my life and you know the absolute truth, and I leave the consequences of my life in your hand. Second of all, refuse to harbor a spirit of unforgiveness. Somebody says something to you and they absolutely told a lie. You've got to decide what you're going to do. Are you going to harbor ill will, or are you going to release that person of what they've done? You say, well, they've lied on me. Yes, they've lied on you. They've said something evil. Listen, in the life of Joseph, Potiphar's wife was the one that did the lying. Potiphar's wife was the one that gave the lie out to her husband. This fella came in to mock me. Men, what would you do if some woman said about you, well, so-and-so came into my life and they tried to sexually seduce me? Listen, has it happened? Oh, yes, it's happened. Can it happen? Sure, it can happen. But here's what Joseph knew. God knows the truth, and since God knows the truth, I may not be vindicated today, but in God's timing, I'll be vindicated. And one of the things that Joseph did, he refused to harbor ill will. How do you know that? Because God never favors a person who harbors ill will and unforgiveness. I'm sure probably in the moment it took him some time to deal with it, because after all, what would you do if someone accused you of sexual misconduct? Someone said, you know what, this woman tried to seduce me, or this man tried to seduce me. But you see, when you and I refuse to forgive, here's what happens. We start getting bitter, we start getting angry, we start getting mad, we start looking at ways to get even. And a bitter Christian is a sad commentary to the grace of God. You can never win by ever getting bitter, angry, and developing unforgiveness. You say, well, it was a lie. Yes, it may have been a lie, but you've got to decide something. You either decide to forgive them, or you decide that they're going to stay in your mind, in your heart, and you'll live with that all the rest of your life. And it will eventually canker, and it will get worse and worse, and it will be a seething reality in your life. And what happens is this: unforgiveness wrecks our life. I mean, you just have all sorts of issues in your life. Unforgiveness wrecks our life and wrecks us emotionally and wrecks us spiritually and even physically. You know, now scientists are finding how many things happen simply because, you're anxious and anxiety-ridden. And so one of the things that Joseph found, if he was going to really respond godly and right, he had to refuse to harbor a spirit of unforgiveness. Now, is it easy? Is it easy when somebody else maliciously lies about you? It's not necessarily easy, but listen to me real carefully. How many things in the Christian life are easy? Listen, Jesus made it very clear. He said, you know, you can't be my disciple unless you deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow. It's not easy to forgive somebody, but that's the right thing to do for your life and for your relationship with the Father and also for a relationship with others. So Joseph refused to harbor unforgiveness. Now, there may be somebody in your life that just given you the dickens, and you say, Pastor, it's real easy to do that. It's real easy to say that. Yes, I know that. I know what it is to have to say, God, I am so mad at this person. I hate this person, or I have hostility against this person. I know those feelings. But here's the reality. If you don't deal with them, and if you don't allow the Spirit of God to rid those of your life, they will absolutely destroy you. And that's why so many people are an emotional mess. They're a physical mess, all because of the unforgiveness that is cankered in their spirit. Yes, you may have your character attack, but you choose to do with it what you will. And is it always going to be easy? No. It's not going to always be easy. Somebody maliciously attacks you. But one of the things that Joseph found is this. He could not harbor a spirit of unforgiveness. He couldn't harbor a spirit and God used him the way that he did. Now think about this. If it comes to God excelling your life and harboring unforgiveness, which do you want? Do you want God to bless you and deal with that unforgiveness? So you have to ask the question. And so Joseph found in his own life that he couldn't be what God wanted him to be in handling this character attack by having an unforgiven spirit. So refuse to harbor an unforgiven spirit. Third, remain faithful to God. Now, it's easy to say, be faithful, but listen to what Jesus said. Jesus reminds you and me, be thou faithful over a few things, and I will make you ruler over many. Does that mean that in this life God will make you ruler? Probably not, but he may. But there's one thing about it. If you remain faithful, he will make you ruler. There is something special in the heart of the Father about that man and that woman who remains faithful. You know why? Because there's a lot of people that quit when the going gets tough. You can find out a real, genuine Christian when their life gets hit on every side. Here Joseph was hit with rejection by his brothers and his dad and his family. Here Joseph was hit by Potiphar's wife. Here Joseph was hit by being in prison. You can find out what a man or woman is like whenever their character is attacked. And so one of the things that Joseph made it his business, he chose to remain faithful because he knew that God was in ultimate control. Now think about this a minute. If you don't believe that God's in ultimate control of your life, and a lot of people are quitting because they don't think about that. They think there's a God out there in the universe. There's a God up there somewhere, but they don't realize by their actions that God is in ultimate control of their destiny. And you see what happens, you know, Joseph realized that. He knew that God would come through. You see, there's a difference in calling God your father and treating him like your father. When you realize that God is your father and you treat him like your father, you'll trust him. When you trust him, you just bank on the fact, Father, I know you're going to come through. I know you're going to vindicate me. I know you know all about my life. You know absolutely everything. I'm just going to live in trust. It's easier said than done. You see, but if you get to know your Father, If you get to develop a relationship, you just trust him. Why? Because he can't do anything but good for your life. And what Joseph did, he realized that I can leave my hand and my life in the heart, in the hands of the Father. And he's going to guide and he's going to meticulously work these things out. And you see, just like Joseph realized that God is in control, it's an opportunity in our lives to position ourselves. Do I believe God's in control? Do you act and do you walk as though God's in control? In your daily life, do you realize and walk and act as though God is in control, or do you feel like you've got to vindicate, you've got to take your life into your own hand? It's amazing how many believers feel like they have to. Well, next, remember that God sees the big picture. Remember that God sees the big picture. Why do you think your character's attacked? Well, God doesn't have anything good, you know, whenever it comes to character attack, so I just need to get that person out of my life and get that situation. If God is all true, and you and I know that he is, then listen, and the Bible is true, and we know that it is, character attacks have a positive purpose. You say, how do I know that? Because the Bible says so. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for what? Good. Do you believe it? Do you believe in your life that even character attacks in your life work together for good? Why would God allow Joseph to face character attacks? Because there is something that God has to do in our life. He has to develop us to depend upon him. You see, when you can't get out of the mix and when you can't get out of the situation and you can't, there is something about depending upon God. And that's what Joseph did. Listen. He wanted to strengthen Joseph's character. And one of the things that we bypass in our life, we bypass our character. There is one thing about your life that is significant to the Father. It is your character. Look at a man that God is using, whether it's in a local church or whether it's statewide, nationwide. God never uses anybody greatly without developing their character. And one of the things that we misunderstand is that whenever those character attacks come, that's exactly what it's for. It's to develop that character. You have a God-given character, but you decide what you do with it. You can throw your character away. And so many believers do that. They throw their character away and the going gets tough and they leave and God can never use their life. You know, we make blanket statements like God can use anybody he wants to, and he is God. He can do as he chooses, but here's the reality. God can never use anyone in a great way who never allows him to develop their character. Joseph, you look at his life, and he faced all of these things. It's not an accident, folks, that he faced these before he got to the palace. It's not an accident that he walked through all of these things before he got to where God used him. And you see, God wanted to teach him how to respond to both godly and ungodly situations. When you're up against it, how do you respond to ungodly situations? Do you lose your cool? Would Christ be tickled to death at how you respond to ungodly situations? Would Christ be pleased with your life as he sees you responding? Why is it that we don't want those situations? Well, the reality is we are human, but when you have those ungodly situations, you make it your decision. You choose. And you see, it was in the prison that God put Joseph. And there's something very interesting in this passage of Scripture. I want you to look at it very carefully because there's a phrase in here that that we often overlook. And the Bible makes it very clear that the Lord put him in the king's palace, or in the king's prison. And the Bible says, and Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in the prison. Why was he put in the king's prison? This was a different prison than the other prisons. This was not the same prison that just the every common day criminal was put. Why did God allow him to be put in the king's prison? Because God knew he was going to raise him before the king. And God positioned the life of Joseph so that he could be put in the king's prison so that he could meet the butler and the baker and at a proper time that God could elevate him because he knew how he was going to respond to the character attacks. Let me ask you this. Can you honestly say before the Father, God can use my life because I respond to character attacks godly. Can you say that? You see, this was a place where Joseph was kept, and a lot of times we'll misunderstand and think, well, he just was thrown in the old prison. God even directed where he would be put. And you see, you know, he remained faithful to God because he knew that God had the big picture, and so, you know, he remembered that God sees the big picture. And to strengthen his character, to teach him how to respond godly and in the ungodliest of situations. And you found that in your life somewhere along life's journey. You've been put in an ungodly situation. Ask yourself this question. Did I pass? Did I respond godly? Or did I respond ungodly? Yes or no? Was my response pleasing to Christ or unpleasing to Christ? You see, sadly, the average believer, well, it's my life. I can do with it as I please. No, you can't. You don't own your life. You gave up the right to your life when you were saved. You say, well, I can do what I want. No, you can't. Because if you really want your life, then you want your unredeemed state back. And you can't be unredeemed again. The Bible says when Jesus Christ purchased us, he bought us with a price. And so remember that God sees the big picture. And sometimes it's easier said than done, but sometimes when you just stop, Father, you know what's going on. You know what's being told about me. You know what's being said about me, and I'm just going to rest it all in your hands. I'm not even going to think about it. I'm not going to worry about it. Easier said than done, but when you allow yourself, you'll be amazed at what happens, what God causes to happen in your life. Well, next, remember that God and God alone is the final judge. Now, think about this a minute. You're ultimately accountable to the church, right? No. You're ultimately accountable to your children or to your parents? No. You're ultimately accountable to the Lord God. And the Bible makes it very clear. God brings every silent deed to light. There is no way you can hide your life to the Lord God. There is no way that you can hide your responses in life. You see, if Joseph had been guilty, God would have exposed him. You ever notice some people that they'll say, well, I don't understand why that was, you know, because they get found out. You know, some people get discovered. They get found out. And God will expose every lie that's been told. Listen, Bible says, don't be deceived. God's not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. When you respond godly to character attacks, you're reaping godliness, and God honors godliness. Listen, God always promotes the godly person, always. You look in Scripture, God always promotes that godly person. And you say, well, you know, what does it mean? Does it always mean financial affluence? No. He promotes your testimony. He promotes your witness. He promotes your life in front of a lost and dying world. People look at your life, and you know what? They know you're a man of integrity or a woman of integrity. Listen, there's no greater testimony than for somebody to look at your life and they say, you know what, I know you'll tell me the truth no matter what anybody else says. And there is something about that man or that woman. You know why? Because lost people will listen to you. It is a wonderful privilege in the sight of the Father when a lost person will listen to you and they say, you know what, I know you never lead me astray. Can you tell me about and go on to the situation at hand? And you see, every one of us need to be reminded of our ultimate accountability. Have lies ever been told on you? Have lies ever been told on me? I'm sure they have. Have people come to me and said, I'm going to tell a lie on you? No, they usually don't come to you and tell you they're going to tell a lie on you. It's always behind your back, malicious. And so, the truth about it is God knows the truth. And God has a way of vindicating. Now think about this for a minute. I want you to listen very carefully. Joseph is in the prison because Potiphar's wife lied and said, he had sex with me. He raped me. He came in to rape me. What did God do? God put him in prison. God allowed him to be put in prison. There he met the butler and the baker. And the Bible says that in the providential time that Joseph was brought before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh recognized this is no ordinary man. There is something about him beyond human understanding. He was a man in whom the Spirit of God lived. God prospered the entire land of Egypt because of Joseph. Do you understand? When you are a godly man or godly woman, God will prosper every place you put your feet. If you respond, God, you say, how do I know that? Because it's His Word. There is something about that man or that woman. You think, you look in the homes all over the world where there is a godly dad and a godly mom raising children. God provides. God does unbelievable things. Why? Because He loves to. Because that's the way He operates. And in the life of Joseph, he had to remember that God was the final judge. And one that I love, remember that God sets the record straight. Remember that God sets the record straight. God set the record straight in the life of Joseph. Many probably for a period of time believed Potiphar's wife and thought, here's this woman, here's this guy, shame on him for doing what he did. But all of a sudden, they found out that he was the one that was being honest. She was the liar. And history records that he's been vindicated. You know who the lie was on. You know who knew the truth. And you see, some may have believed the lie for a period of time. But you remember this. If someone attacks your character, don't fight back. Don't retaliate. Don't get revenge. You just remember this, that God who knows the truth, in His timing, He'll set the record straight. He will absolutely vindicate your life. Why? Because first of all, He said it in His Word. In the book of Psalms, David even wrote it. He said, God will vindicate the righteous. In other words, God will pronounce innocent the righteous. Someone lies about you and someone says you did this, that, or the other. You rest your life in the hands of God. Joseph did. You know, God will set the record straight when our lives are attacked falsely. You say, well, I want it to be set straight right now. It may not be the case. God may want you to hear some lies about you. Now, this sounds hard, but listen. Joseph probably heard some lies about him. Maybe somebody in that prison said, hey, Joseph, I heard that you and Potiphar's wife, you was doing something. And you know what? Every time he responded, God. How do you know? Because the Bible says the favor of God was with Joseph. And God's favor is not upon the wicked. God's favor is not upon that person of deceit, that person who lies, or that person who has sexual promiscuity in their mind and heart. You see, Joseph made it his business to leave his life in the Father's hands. Did Joseph know exactly all that God was going to do in his life? Not completely, but here's what he knew, that God had purposed for him something beyond his human mind, because he had a dream about it at the age of 17, and he would let nothing distract him from God's purpose for his life. Do you realize God has purposed for you His ultimate best, that you live a life glorifying the Father? Do you allow something to distract you from that? You see, the truth will come out, always. I love the way the Living Bible puts it in the Proverbs and Psalms. Truth stands the test of time. Truth always stands the test of time. Well, next, rest your life in Him. What do you mean, rest your life in Him? Simply that. If you rest, let's say you go home this evening or you went home this afternoon, and you rested in a lazy boy. You know what you did? Maybe you got your nap in. But you rested all your weight in that recliner. It was so comfortable that was so serene that you just sort of faded off. You didn't try to hold your body weight up. You just let yourself rest in that little lazy boy or rest in that little couch or whatever it was. In other words, all your weight was leaned on it. That's exactly what it's talking about. You know, Joseph surrendered the totality of his life, and he just rested in the fact that here's the God of the universe who has my life in His hands, and I'm just going to rest it in Him. I'm not going to fight. I'm not going to do any manipulation. I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to rest my life in the hands of God, and the consequences of his obedience are written in Scripture. You know, and when you rest in God, it simply means that you yield up. You just like you give all your strength to that couch or that chair, you give all your energies. Father, I'm leaving my life in your hands. Whatever becomes of my life. And I tell you, one of the greatest prayers you can ever pray is, Father, whatever you purpose for my life, that's exactly what I want. Whatever you desire for my life, that's what I want. I rest the totality of my life in your hands. And the Bible says, and Pharaoh looked at Joseph's life and he said, where can we find a man in whom there is the Spirit of the living God? There is always something impeccably different about that person who responds godly in an ungodly world. We live in such an ungodly world that the name of the game is get even, revenge, and all that stuff. You can't ever win that way. You'll never win that way. Joseph never blamed God. He never accused God. But in the situations, I'm sure he thought, God, what do you want me to learn in this? Somebody lies on you and says something about your character. What are you going to do? What are you going to say? And you see, not only that, but lastly, remember that God prospers all saints who respond positively to negative attacks. Remember that God responds positively to all the negative attacks. Joseph was not blanket blessed by God. Joseph couldn't be blessed by God just because his name was Joseph. But Joseph was blessed because he responded positively. There is something about that man or woman of God that responds positively to the negatives in life. In the life of Joseph, God blessed him with position, prominence, power, all because he obeyed God. David was blessed in his own life with position, prominence, because he chose to obey God. But in the life of Solomon, he was blessed with position and prominence. But the Bible says in the latter part of his life, he turned to many foreign gods, many foreign women. Now, in the life of Joseph, one thing that Joseph realized was this. I can't get out of attacks. You can't get out of attacks. But you can purpose in your heart what you'll do with every one of them. You can purpose in your spirit. Am I going to allow this to get the best of me, or am I going to purpose in my heart to be like servant Joseph? Am I going to purpose in my heart to be obedient to him, to the living God, and allow him his will? You see, something about a man or woman who really believes the Word of God. Lord, you'll do in my life exactly what you did in Joseph. Now, you may not give me an emperorship or a kingdom, but you see, God's no respecter of persons. He'll always vindicate that person who's innocent. He'll always bless them and prosper them in his way. Father, thank you so much for your Word. Thank you for your truth. And Father, I pray tonight, Father, for that person who's here who may have been experiencing or is experiencing some type of character attack in their life. Father, I pray that you would just remind them of your word. Remind them of the truth. Remind them what you say. And Father, just have your will in this invitation for that person who may need to come, or that person who just needs to stand silently and allow you to deal with their heart. God, your will be done. Thank you, Father, for your word. In Jesus I pray. Amen.